With the sixth pick in the 2014 NBA Draft, the Boston Celtics select Marcus Smart from Oklahoma State University.
This is Marcus Smart from the Boston Celtics, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Marcus Smart, what a spin move and a finish. Hard to handle Marcus Smart, whether he's outside or inside the paint.
Time for some NBA basketball talk here on Drive Time Sports. We're going to do this every Monday, and we'll bring in James Holas, who is one half of the Dunk Tales podcast. Always has terrific insight, and we had James on a week ago. That was on the eve of the start of the season. Here we are now a week into it. We'll get James' perspective on a couple of different topics, including the 3-0 Utah Jazz, looking to make it 4-0 tonight against the Houston Rockets. James, always great to get you on the show. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on, man. I just stuffed my face with too much Wendy's, so I don't think there's enough blood in my brain, so if I get a little loopy, don't blame me.
It's all good. It's all good. I'll tell you, I think Jazz fans right now are maybe a little loopy, right? So you give us a perfect segue because, James, as we talked about last week, there shouldn't be a whole lot to talk about. However, this has been a very entertaining team over the first three games of the season, and they're a perfect 3-0. I mean, we're talking a win over the Nuggets, we're talking a win over Rudy and the Timberwolves, and we're talking about a great game against the Pelicans in which they win 122-121. But the one vibe that everybody can agree on here in the state of Utah, it's fun. And I think that was something that was missing over the last couple of years with this franchise. I don't know how long this lasts. I don't know if this is a 25-30 win team, which I believe that's where they fall in line with, 25 to 30 wins. But still, for the time being, it's fun.
Yeah, you know, I could even feel it as a non-Jazz fan from the outside looking in. With expectations comes pressure, and when pressure comes, it's no longer really fun. And I know the Jazz won a lot of games the last couple of years, but, you know, it wasn't about regular season. None of that mattered when you're a team that has championship expectations and aspirations. And, you know, as we saw, the Jazz ultimately didn't have that in them, but, you know, that's where the pressure was. So I understand the last couple of seasons weren't fun. And then a rebuild is never fun. You know, Utah's torn it down, not quite to the studs yet, but, you know, they sent off the big pieces, and this was expected to be a year of pain. So I can understand as fans, hey, enjoy it, soak it up, because this has been an absolute – it is fun. Even as a non-Jazz fan, it's fun. It's fun watching them knock off a team like Denver, because I'm not a big Jokic fan. It's fun watching them just win. So that's really cool. I would temper your Jazz fan expectations just a little bit. We know it takes about 15, 20 games for the NBA to kind of settle in. Early on, like a team like the Jazz, right, there's not a lot of film on them as a unit. They have a lot of good, not great players, but, you know, they're deep, so that's a good thing. But, yeah, once teams get some film on how they play and their style and their sets, and once these guys stop playing a little over their heads, then we'll see what the real Utah Jazz look like. And I'm not saying it's going to be terrible, but it's probably not going to be, you know, 82-0.
No, and I think when you look at this roster, to me the most interesting story now becomes, does the front office try to move on from a Mike Conley and a Jordan Clarkson sooner rather than later, understanding the immediate success up front? And I think you hit that right on the head when you talk about 15 to 20 games before things really settle down. What type of urgency should the front office have now in moving a guy like Conley or Clarkson?
Obviously Victor Wembanyama is a great player, and that's what the eye on the prize is, him and the number two kid, Scoot. It's really tough, though, because as a fan base, you want to win, and even as ownership, you don't want to put out bad product. But when you have a bigger picture in mind as far as down the line, as far as, you know, draft picks, I do see Carson's averaging 19 a game right now, 19-6. That's going to steal you a few wins. Even a guy like Kelly Olynyk, 16 points a game, and like, he stretched out Rudy Gobert and really did some damage. But, like, yeah, if you're really going to tear it down, you've got them. These guys, they're too productive, and it's weird to say that. I know they just got Colin Sexton on that contract. That's fine. But, yeah, they're probably going to have to make some key moves if they're really going to bottom out and tank. And we know that that's what Danny Ainge wants to do, right? It's all about the future and the draft pick. And so it's about dealing with short-term, one season, two seasons of pain for long-term success. I would say Jazz fans, like, really soak this up right now and enjoy these good feelings, because once they move on from those guys, it probably, you know, there'll be dark days ahead.
Now, another team who's worked in the complete opposite of the Utah Jazz, Philadelphia 76ers, right now sitting at 0-3. And when you look at their first three games, two of them I understand. Opening night, you go on the road against the Celtics, you lose that game, I get it. Home game, two-point loss to the Bucks, I get it. What's inexcusable is you score 88 points in that game. And then we take a look at their third loss over the weekend, falling to the Spurs on Saturday, 114-105. I mean, this is unacceptable. When you take a look at the talent on this roster front to back, we're talking about a top three, top four team, at least in my mind, talent-wise in the league. And immediately, the criticism is going to go to Doc Rivers, right? And maybe it's rightfully so. I mean, I like Doc. You being a Celtics guy, you've seen success with Doc, but it's been a long time. I mean, that 2008 championship, that was 14 years ago. Is it right to put this on Doc, or is it that overreaction three games into the season?
It might be just a confluence of things, right? It's a perfect storm of things because you got Embiid, who has been carrying the load, and we know he had his injury problems. He was relatively healthy the last couple of years, but even now he has, you know, plantar fasciitis, and he said he was dealing with some other injury out in the offseason. James Harden is coming back looking to prove he can still be James Harden, which means he's being very ball dominant again. I think, you know, it's no secret that Doc has made some questionable decisions and questionable rotations, and he plays favorites a little bit, and he's kind of stuck in his ways. He's more of an old-school coach in a modern NBA. So I think it might be a union of all these things, because Embiid does not play. He's not playing with a certain pop. He doesn't seem like he's playing with a lot of joy right now. This team is very Harden-centric. You got a guy like Tyrese Maxey, who is an excellent talent, but also needs the ball in his hands. Tobias Harris is overpaid and might be kind of maxed out as a player. So I think this is a case where you have a lot of talent at the top. The roster construction around them doesn't really make the best use of them, and their games don't really play off each other very well. So, yeah, it adds up to an 0-3 start for a team that, you know, considers itself a contender. Doc Rivers said in a press conference the other day they're not ready to win right now, which is scary to think because they have James Harden and Embiid in their prime. So, I think things don't have to change. They need either a big shakeup trade or Doc has to go. Something has to happen for Philly to find itself.
Another team that's in search of their first win, the Lakers, and people in Utah love this. Again, when I take a look at the way the Lakers have played so far this year, at times in that game, that season opener against the Warriors, they didn't look bad. They can't hit the outside shot. Same thing could be said in the Clipper game yesterday against the Blazers. I think they started 1 of 19, if I'm not mistaken, from the three-point line. 0-3 so far. There's too many issues within this roster, within this organization right now, to just say, look, it's Russell Westbrook's fault. But that seems to be the common denominator with most things wrong with this team. And it's a matter of time. It has to be before the Lakers either A, trade him, or B, tell him to go home until they move him.
Yeah, and it really sucks in the modern age where everything is digital online so fast, because we know that they were in trade talks. Like, there's no denying that. We know that there was talk about moving Russell Westbrook. We know that he was benched for one game, and then, you know, he blamed a hamstring injury on that, so him and the coach moved on. We know that they're at such a crossroads, and other teams know it too. The microcosm of that was that terrible attempt at a 2-for-1 he pulled at the end of the game that basically opened the door for the Portland Trail Blazers to win. He's a Hall of Famer that's flaming out in one of the most painful ways to watch, but it's like a train wreck, and we can't turn away. Definitely he's a big problem. They didn't do a good job of adding shooters. They got a little younger, but even that young talent is more Lonnie Walker's a talented player, but he doesn't hit threes. He doesn't really fit with LeBron. He needs the ball in his hands. They did a poor job, and it's really fascinating to watch a team with LeBron James at the end of his prime and Anthony Davis firmly in his prime struggle so mightily to put a quality team around them. So something's going to give, but yeah, you're right. Russell Westbrook has become the avatar of everything wrong for the fans and for the media, and it sucks for him, but this is what you sign up for when you sign up to be a Laker.
Yeah, no question. He opted in. No one's going to blame him for opting in, right, this last summer. With all that being said, James, when you take a look, we've talked about some teams struggling, some teams maybe overachieving early on. What's been the biggest surprise for you over the first week of the season?
Definitely Utah's been up there. Portland right there with them. Both of the teams are 3-0. Both of them, struggled a bit in the preseason. But I'm really impressed. I'm not just sucking up because it's Utah. Just the fight they show. Markkanen has had real moments. I still remember, I think Colin Sexton driving the ball down Jokic's throat repeatedly and, you know, helping win that game, that kind of thing. That's why we watch the NBA. I love that kind of thing. So those two have been a big surprise. I'm happy for Brunson in New York. He's exactly what I thought he was, and there are a lot of people who kind of doubted that. It's nice to see that he kind of organizes that team and gives them a calming influence. I'm going to say it as a Celtics fan. I'm impressed that they've come out. They look like they haven't missed a beat. Even when Jaylen Brown didn't play well, Derek White had the game of ages. Malcolm Brogdon has been a great fit. So even without their starting center, without their coach, their head coach from last year, Boston has come out looking like a team to be reckoned with.
I know you tweeted about this yesterday, but we're going to stick to the Western Conference here for a moment. The Clippers and John Wall. The fact that the Clippers have been able to get, I don't know, what is it, 23, 25 minutes a game out of John Wall, he looks adequate offensively, looks competent on that side of the ball. For me, this was a great storyline, following the Clippers going into the season, because to me, this is the deepest roster in the Western Conference. I believe the Clippers come out of the Western Conference if all things are equal and they stay healthy. John Wall has actually been pretty entertaining over the first couple of games.
Watching him grab a rebound and just put the pedal to the metal and look like he was the fastest man on the court, and he's pressuring the defense. He went from 0 to 60 real quick and ended up at the rim and got fouled. Like, that's amazing to see. He hasn't played for, I think, almost 2.5 years until now. And that's, like you said, they're the deepest team in the league. Exactly what they need. Reggie Jackson, I don't think, is the answer. But the fact that they have him now, John Wall, he's probably meant to be the starter. That's scary. Once Kawhi gets back up to speed and Kawhi comes off the bench and starting again, the sky really is the limit for them. Golden State should be worried.
Is it a two-pony race in your mind in the West? Is it Golden State and the Clippers?
I want to say that, but then you got a team like the Nuggets who added two, like, almost all-star level guys, you know, from injury. Well, at least one all-star level and one with the potential in Junior up there. What's his name? Michael Porter. So, but yeah, Denver, I think, is my dark horse, but Golden State right now is deep. That bench looks like it's really ready to produce as far as the young guys. And then, yeah, the Clippers have, you know, the Clippers might have a problem of too much depth, and they might need to pare that roster down some. So, yeah, I think right now those are my two favorites, with Denver, they're real close third.
Here we are talking about the Jazz. We have to talk about the Cavaliers for a moment, right, because there is that correlation with Donovan Mitchell. Through three games, Donovan looks great, averaging 33 points a game. There was all this idea that he's just become a volume scorer. I think that became the common hate here in the state of Utah. He looks good, this Cavalier team. They're good. They're solid. 1 through 5, this is a solid team.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't know how Jazz fans feel. I mean, I'll ask you after I'm done. You know, you can give me the temperature. But like you said, the guy was outstanding, and he was the best player on the number one offense just, what, a year and a half ago?
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that he caught so much flack, you know, he had a bad playoff performance this year. It happened. But, that's, like, people just forgot what he'd done the, you know, 2-3 years prior. The man can flat-out score, and not just a little bit. Like, he scored from range. He's a three-level scorer. He gets to the rim. When he's on, not very many players are more lethal. And right now he's on, right? They started off the season hot. I think they're 2-1.
2-1, yep.
And he has been lights out last game. So, yeah, he's a huge addition for them. I still worry a little bit about him and Garland in the backcourt as being kind of small, but you got those two giants down there in Mobley and Jared Allen, so that makes up for a lot. They're definitely a team to be reckoned with. And, you know, I know it must suck as Jazz fans to see a guy that, you know, homegrown guy move along like that, and I wish there was a way they could have kept him and you know, maintained a level of competitiveness, but at least he found a good home, and he seems like he's thriving.
In the Eastern Conference, I have the Celtics and the Bucks a tier above everyone right now, even going into the season with Philadelphia and the talent on that roster. If you want to throw them in the tier one, that's fine. Are the Cavaliers at the top of a tier two? Is that a fair assessment?
Is it top of tier two?
Top of tier two, yeah, in the Eastern Conference. Is that fair?
I would say they're right. They're in. I don't know if they'll be at the top. I still think the Nets, once the Nets get together, they're going to be really tough just because of the Kevin Durant factor. But, yeah, they definitely have the potential to be, because, again, that starting five is going to be really tough. It's can their bench always get production in Cleveland? That's where the question is going to be.
He's James Hollis again, half of the Dunk Tales pod. Let's talk about that right now, James. I know with basketball season now off and rolling, this is fun. This is the meat of the bones, right? Everything that we've talked about in the summer, we start to see it kind of come to fruition. Tell us more about the Dunk Tales pod.
So me and my buddy JP, we do it once a week. We'll be on this Thursday. And we just, you know, kind of, we try to be like you and be informative and intelligent and have an entertaining show. We're not living up to that your standard yet, but we're getting there. yeah, you can find us on all streaming platforms, the Dunk Tales, and it's me and JP, and we just talk some hoops.
And, of course, follow James on Twitter, @SnottyDrippin, one of the greatest Twitter handles around. James, it is always a pleasure to get you on. Look forward to next week. We'll do it again.
Absolutely, man. Jazz fans, embrace it right now. And I'll give you guys this. No matter what, you have some entertaining young players and entertaining guys and guys that look easy to root for. So that's pretty cool.
No, hands down. I think you nailed it right on the head. Fun, easy to root for. And another guy, yeah, I guess we can end with this, right? With you being a Celtics guy, we can make the direct correlation to Will Hardy, right? He's cut from that same cloth. Thoughts on A, the hire, and B, the job he's done so far?
So, honestly, like, I don't know much about him, even as a Celtics guy. I think he's an assistant coach. But, look, to get a team like this and have such roster upheaval and have them coming out, not just saying, hey, we're going to play hard, but believing they can win and then winning, that says a ton. So, you know what? I thought he was brought in just to kind of be a caretaker while they just, you know, they tore it down and they lost a bunch of games. And that's what eventually is going to happen. But culture starts from the bottom and starts right now. So having a coach that can instill the right work ethic and the right mindset and be positive, that's going to be the big thing. So him keeping that roster mentally in check while, you know, maybe the losses pile up will be his biggest task. But right now, he's passing with the A+.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. James, again, thank you for the time. We'll catch you next week.
You're the man, brother. Thanks for having me on.
Let's pause for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. It's here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.